Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Behind the Black. Bob Zimmerman is here. I'm John Batchelor. Blue Origin. Been a while, Bob. Blue Origin, we better redefine it. It's a Bezos company. What does it do, Bob? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it doesn't do much of anything. That's been the problem. It seems to have come to life in the last few months with the removal of the previous CEO by Bezos, who had really stopped all operations for 5 years. Nothing got done. And so it's starting to have action, but it's still questionable how active the action is. For example, the most important issue right now is its BE-4 rocket engine. This is an engine that is used by ULA's Vulcan rocket to use two on the first stage of every launch. It's also the engine that Blue Origin wants to use on its New Glenn rocket, and they would use seven of these on the first stage of the New Glenn. New Glenn has not launched yet, but Vulcan has launched once. Vulcan has a second launch planned. It was originally supposed to go in April now, but about a month or so ago, they announced it wasn't going to launch until the fall. And the reason they said it wouldn't launch until the fall was because its payload, Sierra Space's Tenacity Dream Chaser mini shuttle, was still going through its ground test, final ground testing to get certified for launch, and it wasn't ready yet. And that was the reason they gave for the fall delay. But it seems now there was really another reason, which they kept quiet because it really would look bad. And that was that Blue Origin had not yet delivered the two BE-4 engines needed for that launch. They apparently this week they completed the delivery of those two engines, and now ULA is now mounting them on the rocket. Which means there was no way a launch in April could have occurred. So that's one of the reasons. And what's significant about this is, now you remember I mentioned they use two of these engines on every Vulcan launch, and they use seven on every New Glenn launch. Which means that when New Glenn starts flying, and they hope to fly this year for the first time, and ULA gets Vulcan up to speed and starts flying, they have contracts. Both companies have launch contracts that add up to more than 100 launches for these two rockets. 9 engines times 100. That's 900 engines that are going to be needed within a period of only a few years. Essentially, Blue Origin's got to start producing these engines about more than 100 a year. But right now, it appears they can really only produce about one a year. Because if they only just delivered these two BE-4 engines for this second Vulcan launch, that would be only 4 engines delivered in the last 2 years. So maybe 2 engines a year. All right, I'm giving them a little more credit. But 2 engines a year is totally inadequate. And it you'd think by this point, after they've flown one mission on Vulcan, gotten 2 engines to work, they would start to be able to ramp up production and start producing it on an assembly line basis. But the indications right now is they still aren't able to do that.
Bob, are they reusable?
No. The engines are only reusable if they are returned to Earth somehow. And New Glenn hasn't flown yet. The plan is to fly New Glenn exactly like SpaceX landed on a barge and bring that first stage back and fly it again. So, yes, it would be reusable in that case. But Vulcan, at this moment in time, is not reusable. ULA plans to eventually recover those engines and reuse them, but they are not yet capable of doing so. And it's unclear whether they're very kind of complex idea of how to recover those engines would ever really work.
What is ULA waiting for? Reusable is a way to cut costs. What have they been doing?
ULA is not redoing reusability because I think the culture of the company was resistant to doing it. Tory Bruno, when they announced Vulcan, what is it now, almost 7 years ago, said they were going to recover the engines only. They weren't going to vertically land the first stage. They thought that was too tricky. They were instead going to have the engines detached, be protected by a heat shield, come back on a parachute, and then be recovered, snatched out of the air by a helicopter. That was their plan. Because I think the culture of the company, it's an old big space company, they didn't think reusability, that landing vertically was practical. Of course, we now know that's not true.
When you make a mistake,
the culture of the company, John.
Bob, when you make a mistake that large, you're done.
Well, yeah, this is the problem with ULA. I don't know what's going to happen to this company down the road. There are rumors that it's up for sale. Once again, I won't criticize Tory Bruno, the CEO. He's tried very hard to bring this company into the modern age. But he's dealing with an old space culture. And so I'm not sure he's been able to succeed. They have, by the way, they're not done because they do have significant – they have contracts for more than 70 launches with Vulcan over the next few years, half from the Amazon's Kuiper constellation and half from the military and other commercial customers, mostly the military, though. So they have 70 launches, and plus they have about 13 Atlas V launches already contracted.
Explain to me why somebody would pay a premium for ULA when they can go to SpaceX. Why would you do that?
Well, two things, and think about the customers. The customers are the Kuiper, which is Amazon, which is founded by Jeff Bezos. In fact, Amazon was sued by stockholders because they refused to sign a contract with SpaceX. They went everywhere else but, even though it cost more money. And so some stockholders sued the company for that. And the company then immediately followed up and signed a contract to put up some Kuiper Belt satellites with SpaceX to try to defuse that accusation. And so that's one reason they signed the New Glenn and an untested rocket and ULA with a more expensive rocket. And the other customer is the military. And the military doesn't really care how much things cost. They're happy things are costing less, but they want multiple launch companies. So they have SpaceX as a major company, but ULA is one of their standards for decades now, and they want to continue to use it because they want to have more than one launch company. Now, supposedly Blue Origin will become a third, and maybe possibly others will become options. And as the options increase, the military will go with the cheaper ones. But it's always going to want multiples, and that's why ULA still has business. Remember, this is the government. The government doesn't care what things cost. And so that's one of the reasons costs didn't go down for decades, because nobody was willing to try to lower the cost.
It's bad business, Bob. It's just bad
business. Oh, yes, it's all been bad business. What do you think I've been writing about for the last 30 years? I mean, it's a disaster. And the reason things have changed is because an independent company run by an independent guy named Elon Musk decided to compete and come up with innovative ideas and compete. He didn't just take the government money and run. He decided he was going to do it cheaper for everyone's benefit and make money at the same time. And that's exactly why things have changed.
Let's talk about another troubled company, Boeing. Is attached to SLS, which is another one of those organizations paid for by the government that cannot control costs. Boeing is snake bit. They're in business with people even more in trouble than they are.
Yes, this is the story here, John. Boeing has announced that it's going to be reducing the staffing for its SLS rocket over the next few years. But this is not – Boeing here is not at fault. And actually, Boeing is probably making a smart decision here. But as you say, John, they're tied to a disaster. They're tied to a dying animal. They made the SLS rocket for NASA's Artemis program. And that Artemis program has had numerous problems. And the SLS rocket has now launched once, and NASA has declared it operational. We can argue that decision by NASA, but because it's now considered operational, development is no longer involved. What they're going to do instead is they're in an assembly line situation where they're just producing rockets for later launches on Artemis. And so until those launches are occurring, Boeing does not need to have a lot of people on staff. They only need to have enough people on staff to keep the assembly line active and then ramp it up when they start to really start producing rockets. And since the whole program is delayed because of other problems in this case, They are now reducing their staff. But this article, to me, tells me that the dates that NASA is telling us for the first crewed lunar flyby of Artemis, this the second Artemis mission, the first manned, and the third mission, which is supposed to be the lunar landing, the dates they've given of 25 and 26 to that are bogus. NASA, Boeing now knows those dates are going to be delayed, and so that's why it's reducing its staffing, because it doesn't need to get the rockets done as quickly. They're not saying so, because NASA hasn't said so, and NASA's the boss, but that's what this is telling me. Now, I've predicted for a while now that that the first lunar landing on the moon ain't going to happen before 2030, and I've actually been making this prediction pretty much since 2018, when this program was first being laid out, using the Lunar Gateway space station, and that's where we're standing right now. I don't see it's going to launch, and the problems are not Boeing's, and they're not even SpaceX with Starship, which is the lunar lander. It has to do with a lot of other issues. And so Boeing's stuck with a problem. But, you know, Boeing's contract has always been a cost-plus contract. They are not going to sign any more fixed-price contracts. It's one of the reasons they're in trouble, because they can't handle fixed-price contracts. And with their Starliner capsule, they went way over budget, and it's costing them money, not NASA.
California Coastal Commission. What is that?
That is a bureaucracy in California that now wants to block SpaceX launches at Vandenberg. Vandenberg is a military base. It controls its coast and does, it's in charge, and it'll decide how many launches it wants. But it always has tried to work with the Coastal Commission, which is tasked with making sure California's beaches are accessible and well-maintained. But it, the commission has no real power over Vandenberg, but it wants the power, because the military said that the number of launches there is going to ramp up significantly in the next few years, because commercial companies are now able to launch a lot more, and SpaceX is the chief company in this matter. And so it's now been confirmed by people in the Coastal Commission publicly stating that they want to shut down SpaceX and reduce the number of launches out of Vandenberg, but they don't have the legal way to do it, and they're now looking for legal ways to do it. And when there was a Coastal Commission meeting last week where there were hints of this, I predicted, yep, what we got here is a bureaucracy trying to shut SpaceX down, and now they themselves, in their own words, are confirming that fact. Whether they can on the military base is another story, but that's where we are.
What is Orbex?
Orbex is a company, a British rocket startup in the UK that has built a facility to build a rocket, the Prime rocket, to launch out of the Sutherland spaceport. That's the spaceport in Sutherland. The other one, Saxaford, is on the Shetland Islands. But they put in an application for a launch license and a spaceport license more than 2 years ago. And they have still not gotten the approval from the Civil Aviation Authority in the UK for that launch. And so they have, interestingly enough, the story is that they raised another almost $17 million in private investment capital, and they've now raised over $100 million in private investment capital. But I think it's been happened partly because the company is now looking for other places to launch from. They're not going to tie themselves solely to the Sutherland spaceport as they originally were trying to do, because they've gone through four different CEOs in the past year, and I don't think that's because of any problems in the company. I suspect it's because they haven't been able to get a launch license. They originally wanted to launch last year, and they weren't able to do it in 23. Now it looks like they might launch before the end of this year, but that is because they can't get the launch license. So the company has raised money because people do have faith in the company, but I think it's because they're now looking for other places to launch.
Sweden joins Artemis. Bob, are the Artemis countries hip to the fact that there's no moon mission until 2030?
Oh, yeah. They're all signing on for different reasons. There were two nations that signed this past week. Switzerland and now Sweden has signed the Artemis Accord. Sweden was the 38th nation to sign, so we got 30 nations involved. What's interesting about this is that the Trump administration created the Artemis Accords as a way to get around the Outer Space Treaty's limitations on private enterprise and private property. They were trying to create bilateral agreements where they put together an alliance of people who wanted to force changes in the Outer Space Treaty to allow private property in space and a legal regimen in space that would allow such things. That was the Trump's plan. But now under the Biden plan, it's changed completely. The last few press releases from NASA describing these signings has talked about how the Artemis Accords are focused on reinforcing the Outer Space Treaty. So essentially now, this is now becoming a globalist plan to keep the Outer Space Treaty in force and therefore prevent private enterprise and let the governments control everything. And under that condition, I'm wondering why China and Russia haven't signed on. They originally opposed it because it was for freedom of private property and capitalism, but now it seems it's no longer that, John. So I don't know where we're going to go.
Well, the short answer would be because we're at war, but that seems an old-fashioned explanation.
Yeah, well, that's probably the reason still, but unfortunately, Artemis Accords are now, under the Biden administration, are now doing exactly the opposite of what they were supposed to do. They're putting together an alliance to reinforce the restrictions on private enterprise in space. Yes. It's disgusting.
Yes. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going engineering. We're going to Mars, the future home of the Smithsonian on Mars, wrapped around ingenuity. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.